In 1961, when I was in fifth grade, I fell in love. Mr. Borkowski was 24 years old, and this was his first year as a teacher. Despite his inexperience and the demands of teaching 55 students all day, he infused every subject with joy and energy. He was 6'3", but when he talked one-on-one to us, he dropped to one knee to look us straight in the eye. He knew exactly how to make a shy little girl feel special and valued. Mr. Borkowski loved musicals, and The Sound of Music had been on Broadway for a couple years, so he bought a copy of the Broadway soundtrack with Mary Martin and Theodore Baikel to school and taught us several of the songs. Every year on my birthday, my grandpa sent me $5. Usually my mother kept it, but that year I begged her to let me keep $3.50 of it to buy the record. At first, she refused. When I pointed out that the record cost about the same as one of her bottles of Southern Comfort or cartons of Pall Malls, but would last a lot longer, I got a beating, but won the point. I listened to that record so often that even when the record player was off, I could still hear the songs in my head, helping me to tune out whatever was going on around me. Of all the wonderful songs on that soundtrack, my favorite was No Way to Stop It, a song most people aren't familiar with because it wasn't in the movie version. Sung by Captain Von Trapp, Max, and Elsa, it's entirely political, something I would have had no clue about as a little kid, except that Mr. Borkowski explained the song to us. The Nazis were taking over Austria, and the captain refused to accept or be cowed by these evil forces. Max and Elsa thought he needed to be practical and safe by compromising, or at least pretending to play along, since there was no way to stop them. The song, No Way to Stop It, was the turning point of the play. Captain Von Trapp realized that Elsa was too willing to go along with what he felt was profoundly wrong, and at the end of the song, they broke their engagement. That year, The Sound of Music went on the road to Chicago Schubert Theater with Florence Henderson playing Maria, and Mr. Borkowski arranged an evening field trip. I think the tickets cost the same as the record, but my mother said one night's entertainment, when I already had the record, was a waste of money. I did my best to hide my disappointment in the weeks before the big event. I was very shy and scared of being noticed anyway, and it was easy to hide in a class of 55. But a few days before the field trip, Mr. Borkowski asked me to stay after school for a moment. I thought I was in trouble, but after everyone left, he told me that the tickets had arrived and there was an extra one. Would I like to go? Imagine that. I dedicated my Sharing the Wonder of Birds with Kids to Mr. Borkowski. The song No Way to Stop It embodies a powerful belief of mine that even when someone has power over us and we can't possibly stop them alone, we're morally obliged to stay true to what we know is right and to speak out against what hurts others. None of this would have anything to do with birds except for this. Many of the people being suggested for important positions in the next administration have horrible track records when it comes to environmental and wildlife protections. This is scary, and it really feels like there's no way to stop it. The way we made progress on environmental laws in the 1960s and 70s was little by little, people rolling up their sleeves and carefully gathering evidence, opening other people's eyes to the problems, and pressuring their representatives in Congress to support environmental legislation. This time around, the corporations and billionaires are savvier, control most of the funds for research, and own most of the means of communication in the country. If that weren't enough of an advantage, most of our representatives in Congress and virtually everyone being proposed for the new executive branch are beholden to those corporations and billionaires. Yet somehow we must keep fighting for what we love and speaking out when we can. Mary Quinn wrote, "There are times when you must speak, not because you are going to change the other person, but because if you don't speak, they have changed you." I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.